So let's dive into this. When I originally discovered the stages of development, it was in a conversation with my friend Barbara. And we were talking about the differences that we had noticed in men of different ages. And we were kind of poking fun. And it was before I'd really transformed my relationship with men. And so originally we called these stages boys, guys, and men. And it was really in reference to what happens to a man in a later stage called king, where it's a predicament for a woman because he's a real man. Oh no, what do I do with him? I don't know how to deal with a real man. When we have learned to cajole and manipulate and manage guys, do you know, boys and guys, no biggie, we can handle that. Men, oh my God. So that's where the original wording of boys, guys, and men came from. And then after I transformed my relationship with men and learned more about men, I renamed the stages from a period in our history where honor was a quality that was celebrated and acknowledged all the time. So the names of each of these stages come from that era, and they'll be called knights, pages, princes, and kings. So we're going to start by talking about knights, which is actually the second stage, but since a page is a knight wannabe, it's just easier to understand this way. The stage of knight begins at puberty and lasts through the late 20s and early 30s. And puberty, just so you know when to expect it, if you're a mom or a teacher, on average, boys enter puberty at about 11 and a half years of age. So you should be on the lookout for a boy becoming a knight anywhere beginning about 9 years old to 13 or 14 years of age. There's no right or wrong time to enter the stage. It's just going to happen, so you want to watch for it. This stage is characterized by an intense need for adventure. That's what knights are characterized by, is adventure. That's the word that they will use a lot. They'll also use the word challenge, conquest, and fun. This is the stage in a man's life when he is driven by challenge and adventure and fun. And that's one of the things that makes knights so great. They're so much fun. But it's also what challenges the people around them, because the choices that men of this age make will often be between what they think is right, or what would be the responsible thing to do, or what their mom and their dad wants them to do, and what's fun. And they often choose the fun thing instead of all the other things. And as a mother, when my son is in this stage, it was so helpful to know this, that every time he chose fun over the right thing, when I knew he knew what the right thing was, and he knew what the right thing was, that every time he chose fun instead, I didn't lose respect for him. I didn't think there was something wrong with me as a mother that I hadn't managed to instill in him a better sense of rightness. None of that's there when you know there's this intense compulsion, this intense need to have fun and adventure. Another thing to understand about knights is that they live their life primarily in the present. So they're not thinking about what they want to be when they grow up. They're not very much into preparing. They are passionate and they're living now. And if, for example, you notice a knight saving money, there is an excellent chance that he's saving money for his next adventure, however he defines that. Now let's talk about knights in relationship, in romantic relationships. The great thing about nights in romantic relationships is how much fun they are and how up they are for activities. Let's do something. And the thing that's important to understand is nights will be attracted to women who could be a companion for that, who could add to the fun, add to the excitement. So when you listen to knights talk about what they're looking for in a woman, they will say something like, well, I like a woman who likes to do a lot of stuff and who's really fun and who likes to participate in a lot of different things and is really fun. And, you know, if she's really fun, then it's really fun to be with her. I honestly have heard this so many times. I use the word fun over and over again. And that's what they're looking for, that they're looking for a playmate. And if they are, so another thing to understand about nights, which is confusing for women as we get into our 20s, because we're often so compelled to bond, to pair and to bond, is a lot of nights have no compulsion to have a female companion, to be in relationship. It's not there. It's not on the screen. It's not what they're looking for. It's not what they need. They're too busy having fun and having adventures. Now, if they do happen to be in a relationship, and it will be with someone who's really fun, and they feel like they can be themselves with and have a lot of fun with, you're getting the theme here, right? If they are in that relationship, one of the biggest mistakes that a woman will make is thinking that commitment is going to show up here sometime. Now, this doesn't mean that men don't commit in their 20s, and there are many who do, especially if that's what happens in their culture. If in their culture you get married at a younger age, they will often do that. But you should look very closely and see who they pick as mates. It'll be someone that they have a lot of fun with. It's not someone that they're thinking, oh, this is going to be an incredible partner for the next 50 years of my life. They're not thinking that way. Now, if they don't come from a culture that gets married early, you're going to likely run into a particular phrase if you press a knight for a commitment. And what he will say is, I'm not ready. He'll say, I'm not ready. Or he'll say, but I haven't done everything I wanted to do. Now, when a man says, I haven't done everything I wanted to do, he's talking about all the adventures that he's planned on having and is excited about having that doesn't fit with his picture of being a responsible husband. And this is a really good thing. This is an honesty on his part. No, I'm not ready to get married. I haven't done everything I wanted to do. And unfortunately, as women, we don't take men at their word. We don't take them literally. And we would be much better off if we did. So when he said, I haven't done everything I wanted to do, we'll go, well, you'd still be able to do everything you wanted to do even if we were married. And we are so lying. We don't think we're lying. We don't even know we're lying, but we really are lying. Because there's this thing that happens to a woman when a man marries her where, and it's a mistake, but we start to think that his life is ours, that his time is ours to spend and to call upon, and that if he wants to spend it any other way than with us, it's only with our permission. And I'm telling on us now, ladies. And it's not something that we consciously think. It's a kind of possessiveness that comes over a woman when she has found her provider and her protector, and now she's going to monitor every way that that happens. And it's not a conscious thing. It comes from what I call the cave woman within. But men are rightly suspicious of it. They're rightly concerned that that will happen to them. And they've seen it in their fathers. They've seen their mothers run their father's time. They've seen other couples where the woman lets her husband do something, which is a very interesting concept between two adults, that she's going to let him. With every you hear that coming out your mouth, you should really go, whoa, what was that? But so you'll see a reticence on the part of a knight to commit to a marriage when his picture of marriage is of being a responsible provider, which is a wonderful picture, but he's not ready for that yet. And so he'll say that, I haven't done everything I wanted to do, or he'll say, I'm not ready. Now, let's do a little sidebar here on I'm not ready, because this is going to show up at every stage. And I don't want you to think a man who says I'm not ready is automatically a knight. Readiness is a state of being for a man, which indicates that in his mind and in his world, he has what it takes to be successful at whatever's being proposed. And he feels that he's mature enough, he's responsible enough, he has the resources, he has the perspective, he has the space, he's not already committed to other things. And that's when he's ready. Okay, I'm ready. And a state of readiness in a man means that he is got everything he needs to commit to something new. And whether he's committing to a marriage, or he's committing to having children, or he's committing to leaving his job and striking out on his own business, he's ready to buy a house. All those things that naturally happen in life that a woman might entertain much more quickly, for reasons we'll discuss later, he's going to be looking for readiness. Is he ready for that? And unfortunately, as women, we mistakenly think that readiness has something to do with us, and it doesn't. So if he loves you more, that's not going to make him ready for marriage. If he's more committed to your marriage, that's not going to make him ready to have children. There's nothing in a woman that makes a man ready. And there's nothing about the way that a man feels about us, loving us or adoring us or respecting us, that's going to make him ready. So when a man says, I'm not ready, you want your flags to go up and go, oh, this isn't personal. This doesn't have anything to do with me. This has to do with him and his life. And a question you could ask if you wanted to understand him better is, and you want to be really safe when you ask it, you can't have any right answer. And you would say something like, oh, you're not ready. Oh, okay, I got it. You're not ready. Well, can you help me understand what is it that you want to accomplish, or what do you feel needs to be in place before you do that, before you'd be ready? And then put the imaginary duct tape over your mouth and wait and wait and wait and wait and wait, because he's going to be really thinking about that. And you can't do what women normally do. So let's just do a little sidebar on what women normally do, because it'll sink you. It'll sink you with men at every stage. What women normally do, because we think we're talking to a hairy woman, is we'll ask a question, and he doesn't answer immediately. And so we think he didn't understand the question, because a woman would have answered immediately. So we rephrase the question. And now we've interrupted him thinking about our first question, and he's got to think about our second question. And again, he takes way longer than a woman would take. So we decide that the problem is that he's stupid, and he can't handle essay. And so we do what teachers do when they think their students can't handle essay. We switch to multiple choice. And so now we start proposing answers to our own question to help him out. And, oh my gosh, I know as women, as you listen to this, your life is flashing before you. And probably as men, you're remembering this happening. And what happens is as we propose the multiple choice answers, we're usually so far from what's true for him that first he's been interrupted twice in trying to answer a really, really important question. And now what we're proposing as the multiple choice answers show how little we understand him, how far we are from getting his world. And I think it's exasperating. I think it's actually really disappointing for men when that happens. I wonder if they feel doomed. Like, oh, no. Because often our multiple choice is not even in the same ballpark. Because it's what a woman would need to be prepared for something, which is very different than what a man needs to be prepared for something, and then customize it to his individual history and capacities. And we're usually really far off. And at that point, the conversation usually ends in some kind of disaster where we feel like they don't want to be close to us and they don't want us to really understand them. And they're just commitment phobes anyway, and they're avoiding the whole issue. And it just blows up into a nightmare of suffering. And it was totally needless. It didn't have to happen. What you got to do instead is you got to think of men as a deep well, and you got to give them time to go to the well and pull up the very thoughtful and considered answers to our questions. They pay the deepest respect to our questions by giving us real answers if we wait for them. If we know and trust that it's coming and just be safe and whatever they say is okay, it's not personal, and we wait. And then you'll hear everything that you need to hear. And why this is so important is because in some ways it's really bad news to find out that him not being ready has nothing to do with us. Because in one way, it means that we can't do anything about it, you know? Because as women, we think, well, if I just changed, if I was more of something or less of something, then he would love me more, and then he'd be ready. And when you find out it has nothing to do with you, that you changing is going to have no impact, that can be like, oh, no. Except when you ask the question, what do you want to accomplish, or what do you need to accomplish, or what do you need to have in place before that's something you can see yourself doing? The answer to that question is something that maybe you can support, something you can get behind, and something you can believe in him about. And that can make the hugest difference. So after that little sidebar, let's talk about some other things that we do with nights. Expecting a commitment, expecting that love equals commitment, is a mistake that we make of men at every stage, and beginning with nights. In our studies, men have shared with us that picking a partner has everything to do with finding the right person. And we've identified 12 different qualities or conditions that make a woman the right person. And love actually isn't even on the list. It's something in the background. There's 12 other things besides that. And the thing that you need to know is even finding the right person won't make a man ready. And I've seen so many men just with a kind of rueful smile saying, yeah, I think she's the right person, but it's just not the right time. And they'll be sad that they're not ready for her. And they'll be especially sad because women often don't marry the right person. Women get married at the right time. And they will let go of the man who could have been the right person because they can't wait. And this is unfortunate, and it's something that we talk about in our Celebrating Men in Marriage course. And I try to remind women that spending the rest of your life with someone can begin now. It doesn't have to begin with a ring. It doesn't have to begin with a ceremony. It can begin now, and it's up to you whether you commit or not. So let's get back to some of the other mistakes that women make with knights. One of them is this is the age and the stage where men are the most at the effect of women's bodies. So if you think of this in a sort of an evolutionary sense or biological sense, knights are when there's the most testosterone coursing through a man's body. And these are the stags of the species. These are the studs of the species. These are the ones who are designed to ensure our survival through procreation. And so these men are the most susceptible to the physical indicators. You've probably heard that men are visual. Most women think that men are visual. They're visual, they're superficial, and they're visual. And they just take everything that's just about what you look like, and they don't look any deeper, and they're so superficial. And I don't think so. I think men are visual. I think men are designed to acquire an enormous amount of information just by looking, and the reason for that is because it's incredibly efficient. So at this age, in our men who are visual, wonderfully and efficiently visual, is when men are the most susceptible to the physical indicators that a woman would make literally a good breeder. So a relationship of bust to waist to hips that shows she'd carry children well, a defined waist that indicates that she's not already pregnant, because it would be silly to spend your resources on someone who's already pregnant with another man's child. Shiny hair, which comes naturally from having enough fat in your diet and enough fat in your body to be fertile. All these indicators, and they've done these fabulous studies with photographs of women and men in cultures all around the world, and they consistently pick the same factors in every culture. So it all has to do with being a good breeder. And men, especially at the stage of knight, are enormously susceptible to these features. And oh my goodness, I'll never forget, I took my son to the airport, and he must have been, I think, 15 or 16 years old, and these cute little teeny boppers walked by with their cleavage and their belly buttons, and his head was completely turned. We were in the middle of a conversation. His head was completely turned, followed them out of sight. He turns back and looks at me, and I look at his little face, and I said, "They know not what they do." And bless him, he sneered. His lip went up, and he said, "Oh, yes, they do." And I could see how angry he was at being so vulnerable to their bodies, that being so hungry at this reaction caused in him by their bodies. And he couldn't imagine that they didn't know they were doing that to him. And from having been a teenage girl, we don't know. We don't know that we're doing that, and we're really irresponsible about it. So the mistake that women make with knights is taking this turned head personally and thinking, if he really loved me, or really, if he really respected me, or if he really cared about me, he wouldn't care about that. He wouldn't look. His head wouldn't be turned. He'd never notice. All those things that we think, and it's just not true. A couple of other mistakes that we make with knights, I'm specifically addressing to mothers and fathers. And one of them is thinking that we can control a teenage or early 20 or even mid 20-year-old man's behavior by brandishing the club of approval or disapproval. And it's an illusion. The whole idea of controlling our children, I would assert, is an illusion. And the idea that we can control their behavior by what we approve of and disapprove of is silly. And all our approval and disapproval does in our relationship with these young men is create distance, is prevent communication and sharing and intimacy. And I would encourage you to give it up. Give it up with your knights and your princes and your kings. Approval and disapproval never, ever controls a man's behavior because he is not susceptible to approval and disapproval the way that women are. And we'll talk more about that later because it especially shows up even more in later stages. The second mistake that parents and especially mothers make with knights is expecting that he's going to stay home. Expecting that, thinking, you know, well, if I were a better mother or if he loved me more, he wouldn't want to be gone all the time. He wouldn't want to be gone every afternoon. He wouldn't want to be at somebody else's house every night. Why isn't my house the place that they all want to stay? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with him? What's wrong with our relationship? I thought we were fine. And I'm speaking from personal experience. When Jeff went through this, and I was tortured by it until I had a realization. And there were two of them, actually. One of them was that ours is one of the few species that keeps its young studs. In most other species, they're driven. They're driven from the troop. They're driven from the herd. And they go out and hang with each other and learn about life from being out there with their buddies. And that's what I saw when I really watched my son. I could see that he wasn't choosing to want to be somewhere else, that he was compelled, that something was telling him there was nothing more to learn at home, that if he was going to master life, if he was going to succeed, if he was going to survive, it would be by going out into the world and finding out what was there and conquering it. And at that point, it was such a revelation to me. And at that point, I realized, oh, our home is just a pit stop. Our home is a resting and refueling station for him to go out and have his adventures. And if we happen to be able to connect during one of those periods of refueling by being willing to listen to his adventures, that would be a precious moment in which he shared his life with me. And really getting that it's his life. As his mother, it's not mine to direct. It's his. And when that happened, it was such an opening in my relationship with Jeff. It was just so, where do you want to go? And the willingness to be the taxi driver, because that was the most that I would be allowed to provide for him. And that's how I could love him, is by feeding him and giving him rides. Now, on the upside, what is absolutely great about knights and having any kind of relationship with a knight is how fun they are, is how full of life they are, is how passionate they are and how much they live in the present, and how if you're a safe space for them, their exuberance is completely uplifting and exciting. In a romantic relationship, Oh gosh, we need their energy and their sense of fun. As we get older as women, we're so serious. We get so darn serious. And we need that night energy and we need that sense of adventure to lighten us up and bring us back to the present and pull us out of our multitasking and just engage in something that demands our full attention and energy and enthusiasm and participation. I've also been known to prescribe, like a doctor, a night for a newly divorced woman. Because as we like to say, all night, it can be really good for your recovery to have an all night. All right, last but not least, it's critically important for women to remember that even as men move on to another stage, they are always, 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 say it with me, always some part night. And what that means is that the need, the absolute need for adventure is present in every man. And God help the woman that gets between a man and his adventure. It will not go well for her because he needs it. He's got to have it. And one of the most important things that you can do in relationship is find out how much adventure does he need and where does he get it from? And then one of the best questions that you can ask is, what does it provide for him? And the answer to that question, again, if you put the imaginary duct tape over your mouth and really listen, the answer to the question, what does your adventure provide for you, will have you want to support that adventure because of how much it matters to who he is as a human being and who he gets to be in life from having had it. And that's one of the most important things you can do. Find out how much adventure he needs, where does he get it from, what does he get from it, and then you can ask, so is there anything you need from me? Another thing to know about it is, don't assume that you know how much adventure he needs, and don't assume you know where he gets it from. I know a man who, his sense of adventure comes in the plays that he writes and the videos that he shoots. I know another man who, as he approaches 70, he's still paragliding, even though he broke his back about a decade ago. So every man is going to have his own amount of adventure that he needs, and from his particular perspective, where he gets it from. So ask the question, don't rephrase it, and do not provide multiple choice answers. That would be a really big mistake. Just listen and learn.